Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to give us guidance and a greater understanding of this your word, Father. To give us revelations, Father, from the depth of it and the truth of it. Now, Father, may He open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word so that we can walk stronger and build our faith to be your children as you want us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know we're going to be in 1 Samuel. Chapter 13. All right. Now, we're going to find Israel in distress again. You know, it seems like they just can't get things going the right way. Now, in verse 1, says Saul, he's their king now, reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gilgal of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul to Gilgal. Now, you know, as these first four verses I've read, let's go on through five. Then the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is on the seashore, in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. Now, you know, when you look at that topographically of the battle area, would seem to preclude the use of 30,000 chariots. That is one big army, especially for this day and time that we are studying about here. And even among all your major powers, it seems like right now, pardon me, Israel is doing nothing but fighting. And really, we're not given really any reasons for it, because they're in the land that God gave them, and he took care of all the fighting when he put them in there. But then, afterwards, all they do is fight, and if they fight, can't find anybody else to fight, they'll fight among themselves. Now, six. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, with all the people followed him, trembling. They're afraid now. They're trembling. Eight. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered. They're scattered out now. You know, Samuel's tarrying and not being there when he's supposed to be actually may have been designed as a test of Saul's character, because, you know, the Hebrew indicates that Saul did not personally offer the sacrifices, but merely had them made by the Levitical priest. Even if this were the case, his action was ill-advised and a violation of Samuel's instructions. You know, in our study, we read where Samuel is telling him exactly about getting the sacrifices and making the sacrifices. But he didn't do it. He had them made, but he didn't then do the sacrifice. And it was done with the full knowledge that Samuel himself intended to officiate at the sacrificial ceremony. But it was never done. You know, Samuel really didn't like Saul. Samuel really didn't want him as king. But the Lord did. Now, naturally, the Lord had his reasons for that. And as of yet, we may not know why it was really done that way, and why the Lord really wanted him there. Now, 9, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Now, we're told here that he went out to meet him to salute him, or in other words, to greet him. In verse 11, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He forced himself to make this burnt offering. When you do something unto the Lord by force, there's not much going to happen. Now, 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. In other words, Samuel's telling Saul here, if you'd have done what I had told you to do, the Lord would have already established your kingdom upon Israel forever. 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought of him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You see, he was told all of it, and told exactly what to do, and wouldn't do it. Even being made king, And still, he would not do it. He wanted to do things his own way. What's that letting you and I know about our lives and the way we are living? Our life set to where we are doing what the Lord wants us to do? Or have you found that out yet? But if you have found it out and know what God is asking of you, you better move on it and get started at doing it, or you can be just as Saul is here. You can lose it, because he'll give it to someone else, because he aims to get done what he asks to be done. Now, just as he's done here with Saul, here in 15, and Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Jabesh of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, the people that were present with him, abode in Gilgal of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Now, 17. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shiloah, and another company turned the way to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. No, but they have sent these three companies out against Israel. In three different places. 20. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to Shaphan, every man his share and his colder and his axe and his mattock. 21. Yet they had a fall for the mattock and for the colters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. You know, this wording in Hebrew text is kind of difficult. To get and actually the translation of it. But in kind of a change, and the change was actually 2/3 shackle for sharpening the plowshares and the mattock, and the 1/3 shackle for sharpening the fork and the axis, and for fixing the goads, whatever they are. Now, that's something later on I'll have to look up that word to find out really what that goad really is. G-O-A-D-S, goats. And I'm not sure of what that is. I will see if I can find out, and we'll let you know in our next study. Okay. Now, we finished with 13. 14. We're going to get into it, but we're not going to get through it, because it is a long chapter. In fact, it's 52 verses long. It's quite lengthy. But we're going to get started in it, and we'll get wherever the Lord leads us up to. So beginning here with verse 1 of chapter 14, it's going to be talking about Jonathan smites the Philistines. Verse 1, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told him of his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gilgal under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Aiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Kehath, and the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. They didn't know he had gone now to that place. 4. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinea. The forefront of the one was Citrus, northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gabri. 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You see, now he's doing things that he hadn't even told his father Saul. But now he's kind of looking to the Lord for help. 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. 8. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. 9. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. He's trying to figure out a strategy here. 10. But if they say this, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Now Jonathan is looking strictly for the Lord to do his work, really. Now, 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes, for they had hid themselves. 12. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. I just thought they had said, come up here. You see, Jonathan is telling his armor bearer that the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. But I haven't heard in all this, we haven't read where the Lord told Jonathan that he'd deliver them. But we'll see whether or not he did. 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within as it were a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. 15. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. Now they also had the earthquake. That's what's going on. But they have killed 20, the two of them. 16. And the watchman of Saul and Jebus of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. 17. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. When they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Saul just now find out they gone. And Saul said unto Ahira, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. 19. It came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priests, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. Now, and Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves. They came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. 21. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Now they've gained a few that they really didn't know they had, because they had been with the Philistines. But now they're turned against the Philistines and joining with Saul and Jonathan. In 22, likewise, all the men of Israel, which hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. They still got the battle going on. 23. And so the Lord saved Israel that day. He did, the Lord did save them. And the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. We're going to stop there for the evening. And we'll get back, finish up this later on the next time, which will be actually next week when we get back into this. Because as of tomorrow, we're going to be back into the four Gospels. We'll be back into Matthew tomorrow morning. But you see, we are learning a whole lot from this Old Testament, because we see when they are with God, God takes care of them. When they're not with him, then God doesn't take care of them. And they pay very dear prices for not being and doing what God wants of them to do. Should be teaching us a lot of things. Stop and think about it. Spend some time meditating about this. In fact, if you have time, sit down and read it again yourself. Read it slowly. And let the Spirit speak to you. And you'll know that I have not given you something that is not so. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for the time that we can come together to share your word with each other and with each other and you and the Holy Spirit so that we can grow in knowledge, in wisdom. The knowledge of your word, the truth of your word, and the wisdom to use to go out and help others to walk from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Have peace. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, we pray for it. We pray for the evil of our leadership. And we pray that it can all be removed. And those that are your children can take their place and help us to bring about a repentance of this land. So it can be healed, Father. And put our government back upon the foundation that it has been taken from. And that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And put Jesus back, Father, into every place he's been taken out. Making him our Lord. Making him, Father, our King for this nation. No one else but him. And let our churches that are weak, teaching things that are contrary to your word, let them repent and get men in them that you have called and filled with the Spirit, and that will give them the truth of your word to help bring in the harvest that is so ready to be gathered. But the labors are few. Now, Father, for those that are with me, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Dennis Lee, Sister Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, her Bobby, Millie Johnson, James Taylor, and Father, for all of my family, all of our families, may the Holy Spirit work within our families to bring those that are walking in darkness out of darkness and bring them unto a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his light, so that he will light your pathway to make their way home to heaven. Father, be with us now as we prepare to separate for this evening and through the night. Keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again in the morning, Father. At 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening and a good night. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.